It looks like we have plenty of time, so. And is this on also? There we go. So we're good. Okay. In a prelude to one of his songs, Billy Bob Thornton, there he is. Billy Bob Thornton recounts a story that was told to him by actor Jim Varney. I think most of us probably know him as Ernest, maybe the younger, I don't know what else he was in. I know he's been in a lot of movies, but anyway, the story tells of an old Kentucky woman. It may have been Varney's grandmother or mother. Billy Bob didn't quite remember. And this woman had lived her whole life in a mountain hollow, or as Billy Bob would say, a holler. And it's just a elongated lowland between ranges of mountains or hills. And nearby to where she lived, literally right on the other side of the mountain, there was a railroad. As she would sit on her porch, she could hear the sound of the occasional passing train whistle, and the desire entered her mind to someday go see this train. She could hear it, but she couldn't see it. It was so close to her, but the view was blocked. And that idea in her head, in her mind, it grew every time she could hear it pass by. And whenever anybody would ask her what she wanted to do, she would say, "One of these days, I'm going to go over that mountain and see that train." Well, her life slowly passed by as she did her day-to-day tasks, her chores, her everyday living, and always thinking of that train when it would go by and blow its whistle, I guess. Until one day, finally, after so much thought and dreaming about seeing that train, she reached the end of her road. Her lifetime had finished, and by the end, she had still never left that hollow that she lived in, and she'd never seen that train. Even though she had dreamed about seeing it her whole life, and it was a goal that she had, Billy Bob speculated a bit as to why maybe she never went and saw it. Maybe she was afraid. Maybe she was afraid what would be on the other side of the mountain. It wouldn't be what she expected. But whatever the reason, she never made it there to see the train. And then he continues into, I guess, what he would call a sad and lonesome song based roughly on this woman's story. And this is a story that most of us probably know by now. We have these things, or our goals that we make, things that we want to do before we're gone. And they're always in our mind. We think of them frequently. It's something that we want. It may be getting into shape. I need to do that. It could be studying your Bible more, and I mean an actual Bible study, not just reading your Bible, learning what's in there. Why is it in there? It could be spending more time with your friends and family, or even learning a new skill, maybe an instrument, a sport. There's lots of goals that we can come up with. And that's the kind of thing I'm talking about, something that will hopefully better us in some way. But then we end up sometime later being little or even nowhere closer to reaching the goal than when it first came into our minds. Just like the lady stuck in the hollow, how many years down the road, she wasn't any closer to reaching this goal. We find ourselves still living our lives unchanged, still stuck in that mountain hollow. But why are we still stuck here when these goals are something that we want? They're on our mind because it's something we want. It's something we desire. So why are we stuck there? And honestly, each person will have to determine for themselves what exactly it is holding you back from moving toward these goals. Maybe it's some sort of fear, like, oh my goodness, what will the people think of me? How will they see me? Or any other reason that may manifest fear. Or maybe we're content with being stuck and not moving toward the goal. The reward doesn't seem worth the effort. Maybe I want to get in shape, but I don't want to exercise and I don't want to eat right, at least not yet. I mean, it's not a big enough pull for me to actually put the work in and start my path toward it. Or maybe our priorities just aren't quite aligned with what the goal, as aligned with the goal as we thought it had been when it came into our mind. And there could be any number of reasons for not taking the first step, or even stopping shortly after you take your first step. But 2 Timothy, hopefully, yeah, 2, chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." So we can always find answers for all of the many excuses we can come up with. A lot of times, just a quick read in the Bible, we can find those solutions. But for me personally, maybe it's that I don't know how to begin moving forward, moving toward my goal. But then why don't I learn? I'm capable of that at least. Or sometimes the timing just isn't quite right. I mean, I need some kind of perfection before I begin. Maybe I need to learn something. But instead of beginning with the knowledge I have, I need to be perfectly ready to start, or I can't start until Monday because that begins the week. Something like that. But why? There's no reason for that. Or maybe some other breed of laziness. Excuses really can be an art form, and I've created some beautiful excuses in my life and some that are worthy of applause. Jackie can probably attest to that. And today is a good example of this. My mom called me yesterday to see if I could fill in for my dad because, as you know, he's sick, wouldn't be able to make it today. And earlier, we had, Jason Turner had been here to do a short series. It was, I think, a week long, learning to give sermons. And part of that, we were assigned to do try to make a 10-minute sermon and then present it. I think mine ended up being about 5, but then... So we went through that, and it's been a while ago. I can't remember how long. Sarah was there. Do you remember? Yeah, could have been the spring, but it's been some time. And ever since then, I always intended to lengthen the sermon a little bit, add some stuff to it, kind of perfect it, improve on it. And maybe, just maybe, someday deliver it, if enough pressure was put on me, just to have a sermon kind of in my back pocket for when the time was needed, like today. Kind of like a rainy day fund, I guess, if that makes sense. But here I was yesterday, in need of it, and it wasn't ready yet. I was typing this to this morning, and I've had plenty of time since Jason's classes, so why was it not ready? It's just like the old lady in the hollow, and I've already written this sermon about her, and here I was falling victim to the same thing, and. Victim, I know, isn't the right word because it's my own choosing. I mean, I had written a sermon about this, and here I was in that same predicament that it was meant to keep me away from. But even still, I was unprepared. I'm reminded of Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23. It says, "In all labor there is profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty." So my words, or in this case, my thoughts, never became action. I never took the time, I never put the effort in to turn that short introductory sermon into something more, a little bit more full. Anyway, whatever the reasons we give, they're holding us back from reaching goals that must at least be somewhat important to us. Yep. Bob Dylan, who the Rolling Stones correctly ranked as number one in an article of the top 100 best songwriters, is credited with saying, "People seldom do what they believe in. They do what is convenient and then repent." The truth in this statement stings. And the troubling thing is that I think I see this more and more often in the world today. Just go along with something, not because we agree with it, but because it's easy at the time. Then we can deal with the regret. We can deal with the regret later when we're on our own and in private. Or maybe you have plenty of time to do the things you want to do, just like me, but you don't make the time for it. It's something that you want, but you make a reason for it not to happen. And even more troubling is the last part of his thought, the part about the repenting. It can't apply to a lifelong goal. If you look back at the old Kentucky woman, where is her chance for repentance now? Her life is past and her work is done, whether or not she was ready. She will never see that train, and so it goes with any life goals that we choose to neglect. And yes, it's a choice that we make, whether we neglect it or not. But these life-size goals are likely the most important goals we can have. Whether we fail or if we succeed, they will become our legacy. Just like the lady that Billy Bob was saying about, her legacy was in action. And what more important life goal can we have than the opportunity of partaking in eternal life in God's coming kingdom with those who we love? And yes, with those we love, our friends. It kind of reminds me, I was recently listening to a podcast, and the guest was talking about a time he was led to Christ. He was having troubles in his life, and he ended up staying with some of his friends who happened to be Christians. And when the topic of salvation had come up between him and his friends, he kind of expressed a little bit of frustration because he'd known these people most of his life, and this is the first time he had come up. And he said, wait a minute, you have this beautiful thing, this wonderful story, and you're only now telling me? I mean, at least he did get the message, but why not sooner? And I suppose I'm guilty there too. I've got friends that, yeah, you want the best for them, but I'm not sharing the best to them. And this is part of our service to God. And service to God is the path to this key goal of eternal life in his coming kingdom. And we know in Mark 16:15, the Great Commission, and he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." But the different ways we can serve, and there are many ways to serve. I mean, there's always a need for us to fill. But anyway, these different ways to serve aren't the point that I'm trying to make. It's about turning the desire to serve into an action of serving. In Proverbs 31:27, regarding a worthy woman, King Lemuel, I'm assuming is how you say it, writes, "She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness." In other words, she's active and busy, and she's productive, and this is a desirable thing. And we know the comparison from Ephesians 5, comparing the church to the bride of Christ. So I challenge you to read the full the full passage, which is Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31, and it's long, so I'm not going to read it. I'll read it to myself. But later, sometime on your own, read it with this idea in your head of the church being the bride to Christ, and see how. Consider if it's a good description of you and of your church regarding Christ. Does the description of this woman fit the way we're living? Are we as productive as she is? Are we doing the things that we should be doing? It's important for us to continually examine our lives, or at least once in a while, just to make sure that we're in proper motion to reach whatever our goal is. And we're talking about reaching, obtaining salvation, I guess is what we're talking about as our goal. But it's important to keep watching, because life is full of all sorts of distractions to worry about and keep us busy. It's an endless stream of potential excuses, and I've taken from that stream many, many times. And I'm not proud of it, but I'll admit it. But I have to improve on that. We need to improve on what our downfalls are, I suppose. So how can we keep moving toward our goal if this is the case? If there's so many things holding us back, how can we move forward? Fortunately, the author of Hebrews gives us advice on this very subject. He writes this in the first three verses of chapter 12. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." In other words, we should rid ourselves of the distraction and the sin that is holding us back. We should have and develop the willpower to keep going when it gets hard. Have somebody to turn to, have something to keep us heading in the right direction, or at least holding us from slipping backward until we get back to the state where we can keep moving ahead. He mentions the witnesses, and if we look back at chapter 11, we can see that these are the saints that have successfully completed their race. They have reached their goal, except for the weight of death. They've done everything that they were supposed to do, and now they're just waiting for the reward. And these people serve as examples for all of us, as we should someday be an example to a future somebody, just like they are to us. They each went through trials, and they each went through difficult times, just like all of us. They were people just like me and you. And we also have, looking back at the passage, we have Jesus, who is the perfect example and role model to keep our focus on, to look at, to see. We can see his real love through the sacrifice that he made. And as long as our focus is true, the sin and all the distraction will become just a blur. This was a new word to me when I wrote the first version of this, the shorter one. The word is bokeh. And it's a word that means the blurry part of a picture surrounding a focused area. So here we're focused. And So here we can see clearly the picture, but everything around her, it's not clear, it's not distinct, it's vague. And the only clarity we see is where our focus is. And that's the way it is when we look around. What has our focus has our attention. Everything else, you know it's there, but it's not, there's no distinction there, so it doesn't keep your attention. Anyway, with our focus properly on Jesus, then we can, the sin and the distraction can become like that. It doesn't affect us as much. Yeah, sure, it's still there, and maybe we'll glance at the blur once in a while, but our focus is on Jesus. And with this advice from Hebrews, we can reach this, hopefully, this chief goal that we have, and avoid concluding our lives still stuck in that hollow and having our entire life reduced to just a sad and a lonesome song. That's the end. 10 minutes in. Anyway, we will close with number 246.